Perfect. Thank you. So, hi, happy Thursday. My name is Caroline. I'm a real estate agent right here in Southern California. I'm going to go over a lot of awesome things when it comes to buying a property. And these things, I'm not sure if you guys are all from Southern California. You can let me know in the chat where you guys from, where you guys are located. But pretty much everything that I'm gonna cover, you can use these basics anywhere, not just in California. If you're in another state, that's also possible. So I see Riverside, the Bay Area, Van Nuys, Urupa Valley. That's awesome. Perfect. South Los Angeles. So I mean, thank you so much for being here. As I mentioned, this is my first time, but I have plans on doing more Zoom like this. The next one I would like to do about short-term rentals, and then afterwards I would definitely love to do multifamily. And I'm thinking of maybe sooner than later, I want to cover the California Dream for All loan program that's coming this fall. So I'll go through the presentation. I say presentation, but it's pretty much just me telling you information. And if you guys want to keep your questions for the end, I'll try to go over questions like 10, 20 minutes afterwards. It shouldn't be long since I'm just going to be talking. So pretty much what I want to go over is understanding what it takes to purchase a house, the process of home buying, the process of getting ready to purchase a home. We're going to look at a financing option. So I'm going to kind of give you a little bit of a guidance on all the different loan options that are available at this time and what you should expect with these loan options. There are also some legal and purchase agreement documentations when you're submitting offers. How does it work and the requirements of those? There are also some local housing rules and laws to respect always. And how do you find the right home within your budget? So I'm going to give you a quick calculation. Pretty much the numbers you should put into consideration when you're thinking of buying a house and kind of establishing what comfortable, not only purchase price, but monthly payment you want to stay at. And then some of the negotiation strategies that I use, or that any real estate agent out there can use. Now, I work full time in real estate. I actively submit offers every single week. I represent sellers. I help buyers invest as well. So, obviously, I'm an active agent. If someone is helping three, four buyers a year, they might not be using the same strategies, but that's something that when you're trying to find the right realtor, those are the questions that you can ask. So, if I just wanted to introduce myself, my name is Caroline. I came to this gorgeous country, my home, back in 2014. I was an immigrant. I then got my green card a year and a half after my arrival. I'm also a mother. I'm an athlete. And I purchased my first home at 25 years old. Then a couple of years ago, during the pandemic, I started investing actively where I purchased short-term rentals, Airbnb. I did some remodel on one of my property, went through the whole hiring a contractor, remodeling a home, and making it very unique, giving it a very unique experience to my guest. And currently, I'm on the hunt for my next purchase and the very exciting times. And as a first-time home buyer, when I purchased my first house at 25 years old, I did a lot of mistakes. I purchased with a lot of debts. I didn't budget accordingly. I did a lot of mistakes. And as when I became a realtor, I noticed that there wasn't a lot of information out there for first-time home buyers. Even when I purchased my home as a realtor, even the lender that I used at the time, I don't use that lender anymore, didn't give me enough guidance where I chew more than I could bite, or I bit more than I could chew. And I did a lot of mistakes. And as a realtor, being in the industry for now 7 years, I have noticed the lack of information and the small little things that someone can do on a daily or monthly basis to get them ready to purchase or invest in real estate. And that's what really has motivated my mission to help people out there. Maybe you're like me, maybe your parents never owned real estate, so they can't guide you. Nobody taught me about credit. Nobody taught me about what it's like to have savings for 3 to 6 months just in case if something happens. Why it's a good idea to buy your first home, because that is such a groundbreaking foundation for your family, and it can help you build generational wealth. And all of that, all of my experience, all of the mistakes that I made is mistakes I don't want you to make. And that's why I actually love educating. And if you're here, you probably see me on social media, TikTok, Instagram, even YouTube and Facebook. I have a passion to share real estate. It is a pleasure, and because it's such a great platform to educate people. I like to do it almost on a daily basis. So, with that, let's talk about the process of home buying. Okay. I always say to my clients when I help them, especially first-time home buyers, don't overthink and don't get stuck on the analysis paralysis where you start looking and overthinking and talking to everybody about home buying, and now they start giving you or putting doubts. So typically, when you're looking to buy a house or you're interested in doing so, maybe it's in 6 months, maybe it's in a year, whatever. The first thing you always want to do first, before looking at houses, before even walking at open houses or even trying to see properties, is you want to get your financing in order. Unless you're going to buy cash. Cash is king, that's great, but 99% of people use financing where they go through the process of getting pre-approved for a mortgage loan first. And in order to do that, you can go to a bank, you can go to a credit union, you can use a direct lender, that's what we call them, or you can use a mortgage broker. Now, credit unions are great because they typically offers great interest rate. But banks and credit unions have some very strict and very they're not very flexible with their guidelines, meaning they are seeking for borrowers that have the best credit, that have most likely the most savings and the least debts. Now, if you fall into those categories with your bank, if you have 750 and above credit, you have 20% down, or even if you're gonna put 5% down, but you have a lot of reserves, you have 2 years of stable employment history, then most likely you can get a good offer on the purchase that you can do. Now, a reminder, banks and credit unions, typically the loan officer only work from 9 to 5. They typically don't work on the weekends. So if you're looking at houses on the evening, on the weekends, and you're trying to get some mortgage information, you might not be able to until Monday. And that's the reality. This is not new information. Obviously, banks are closed on Sundays. So something to keep in mind. Now, direct lenders and mortgage brokers, Obviously, anything that involves brokers have a lot of resources for different types of loans, and they typically offer really good interest rate because they work with a variety of either investors, either is Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or these, if you're looking at United Wholesale Mortgage, which is one of the biggest lenders in the United States, all that. And direct lenders are also good, very good. They have creative loan options out there as well. But typically, mortgage brokers have the best products for mortgages, typically. So once you go to the pre-approval, you find your lender. This is when you can reach out to a realtor, or you can do vice versa. A lot of time I talk to people, I offer phone consultation where I can just give you kind of some scenario estimates based on your financial information. And if that works out, I can connect you with my loan officer, and then you can go from there. A lot of people feel comfortable doing that because a lot of lenders out there will ask to run your credit, and me and my lender and my team, we don't like to do that unless once we look at your taxes, we run your credit. We look at your taxes, we look at your bank statement, we look at everything, your employment. If the numbers make sense and you give us the green light, then lastly, we'll run your credit. But if you go to a bank, they'll probably want to run your credit right away. So just things to keep in mind. Afterwards, you're able to look at properties. Once you have that pre-approval, you find a realtor. You get to submit offers, obviously, when you find the house that you really like. Once the offer gets accepted, you open escrow. Escrow is a third independent parties that helps the seller and the buyer do the transaction with all the legal documents. They take care of title, the changes in title. They take care of the recording, the deposit, the fundings. Like, this is where everything happens. When you're in escrow, you want to do a home and a termite inspection along with your appraisal. And after that, you're able to negotiate any repair, credit, price adjustment. And typically, once all of that is done, that's when you're finalizing all of the financing. And once that's done, you're a homeowner. So I wanted to go over what it's like to get a mortgage pre-approval, right? So how does it work is they look for specific items. Typically, they look for stable employment history, as I have mentioned. Most traditional loan, like conventional loan, FHA, down payment assistance program, all these traditional loans, they look for 2 years of stable employment history. And what does that mean is they want 2 years of either the same employer or the same line of work. So if you go from being a dentist to a pilot, the clock starts all over again once you become a pilot, right? But if you go from being a manager for IKEA and then being a manager for Costco, okay, you're in the management, it's fine. Typically, they prefer good credit. Now, what's good credit in this day and age? It's anything above around 660. Under that, 640 is kind of like borderline. 620, that's when your interest rate, you're going to start seeing a difference in your interest rate. So the lower the credit score, the higher your interest rate. That's really how the banks and how every mortgage loan and even car loans are given out. Car loans will, even if you have a 580 credit score, most likely the dealership will give you a car loan, but it will be pretty expensive. So It's a good idea to monitor a good credit. Anything above, like I mentioned, 660, that's when the interest rate's gonna be better. Above 700, then that's good. And above 750, I mean, now you're like in the excellent credit score bracket. Now, where the credit score impacts a lot of borrowers is when you don't have as good as credit. That's when you kind of lose some mortgage option, or you can still do some of those, but then they're going to ask you to have a lot of money in your bank account even after you close escrow, because they want to make sure you're able to make the payments. They consider your debts. And what are your debts? Your debts are credit card payments, and I'm not talking about when you pay them off. No, credit cards balances. Student loans are considered a debt. We're looking at car loans, car lease as well. It's equal. If you have a car loan, car lease, it is equal. You have that this liability. They also look at if you're paying child support, that is considered a debt, a liability. And if you have any personal loan, also that falls into your debt to income ratio. When you're looking to get a mortgage, you have to be aware that the bank will consider your gross income. They do not consider your net. That is their guideline. Don't kill the messenger. That's just how they do it. And typically, when you have some debts, even if it's little, the bank will allow you to go to 45% of your gross income, your monthly gross income, but they will deduct your debts from that. So just so you know, now if you don't have any debts, typically they allow you to go maybe to half of your monthly income, maybe a little bit more. But rest reassured, it's always the buyer's decision. Okay. Nobody's gonna show up with, holding a gun saying, hey, you better go to the highest and best. No, it is your decision. But they will give you a pre-approval unless you mention it to the lender. The lender will give you the max approval. So something to keep in mind, because and that's why you want to get pre-approved first, because if you're looking on Zillow, you're looking at houses at 700,000. But then, first of all, do you qualify for that mortgage? And then second of all, do you like the payment? Because yeah, $700,000 home are nice, but what if you would prefer the payment on a house at 550? So that's why getting the financing in order first is a really good option. They look at 2 years of tax returns, obviously. That's how they're able to see all the income you made. And then they will look typically at 2 months of bank statements, 1 month of pay stubs. And then once that is all good and okay, you do the loan application. It's like about 3 pages. They ask you basic questions. And finally, that's when they run a credit. So that's really how the process of getting a mortgage works as far as that. Let me see. So let me go over some of the financing options. I'm sure a lot of people want to know a little bit more about that. So these are some of the traditional loans that are out here. I didn't do like the unconventional, like you might see me talking about the SCR loans. There's ARM loans, there's more untraditional loans, but I didn't put it there. These are mostly what first-time home buyers focus on. Now, down payment assistance program. This is where a lot of borrowers don't need to come up with a down payment of 3%, 5% or more. Typically, what happens is borrowers that do qualify can fall into the down payment assistance program and the closing cost assistance program. You can fall into that if you qualify. That's where pretty much you're not coming with any of your own money to purchase the property. Now, in order to qualify for these, you have to most of the time be a first-time home buyer or have not purchased the property in a few years. You need to have good credit. So most of these down payment assistance program, you're going to be looking at anywhere between 620 and 660 credit score. Now, there is a lot of different down payment assistance program. There's down payment assistance program from the state. There's sometimes even from the county. I mean, they have a lot of different regulations and guidelines, but this is just kind of like generally. And down payment assistance program, as I have mentioned, even if you're not in the state of California, if you're out of state, most states offer down payment assistance programs. So that's why it's a good idea to get in touch with local experts. Definitely 2 years of stable employment history. There's really no exception there. And then, yeah, as I mentioned, zero down payment. And then for this one, especially right now, because of what the affordability is, you definitely want to have very little to no debts. Now, something to be aware with the down payment assistance program, although it is an amazing program for first-time home buyers, and to be honest with you, I purchased my first house with FHA, but it would have been great if, I could have used down payment assistance, but I had too many debts at the time, so I couldn't. There are income restrictions per county. And again, I put down payment assistance, but I should have put down payment assistance programs because, again, there are so many different programs out there. But this is kind of just like the basics. Anybody here that's a VA or maybe like active army or military, et cetera? Because if there's nobody that's a VA, I don't have to mention it. But just because we're at it, VA loans are great, but you do need to be you do need. You do need to have that award paper that shows that either you were active or you're a vet. So that's like, and in order for someone that might have a significant other, but they're not married, then only one of them could be on the VA. When you can use VA as a couple is you have to be legally married. So the great thing about VA is that it's a very low credit score requirement. As I have mentioned, you do need the VA award letter. There's no down payment required, but it has to be primary residence. And that's also for the down payment assistance program. That has to be your primary residence. And if you already own a house currently, you cannot use your down payment assistance program. But to go back to VA, you can purchase 2 to 4 units with a VA. So let's move to FHA. So FHA is incredible because the reality is you can purchase a property using the FHA loan even with a 580 credit score. That's the reality. That's the guideline they have. But if you have a 580 credit score, they will require a higher down payment that can vary between 10 and 20% down. Now you might say, well, I mean, how is that? Because the FHA requires 3.5% down. Well, when you're not at the exact guideline of their credit score requirement, that's when they require more money. And that's the reality, guys. The banks, they will literally let anybody purchase with any credit As long as you have the money. So there's always like a counterbalance here. So if you have good credit, okay, then you don't need, you might not even need a down payment. But if you have bad credit, well, you better have money. Because again, the reason if you have 580 credit score, the reason they will expect 10 to 20% down is they want to make sure there's equity in the house in case you can't make the payment. And but why would they think, oh well, why could I make the payment? Because you have a low credit score. So to them it means that you're a higher risk borrower. But if you have a credit score above 620, you don't have to worry about that. FHA is great, is an amazing for some home buyer loan because it allows you to have to get into a home with very little money. 3.5% down is not a lot if you think about it. Like from where I'm from in Canada, you need at least 10% down to buy a house. So this loan is great. And also remember that you can buy multifamily with FHA. You can buy up to four units of fourplex with 3.5% down. Now, what other country in the world offers that? Is zero. So you gotta love FHA for that. And then you can have, I want to say, you can have a lot of debts with that. You can have credit card payments, you can have car loan, you can have even student loans and still purchase. You can even have some collection, I believe, to a certain extent, and still qualify for the FHA loan. The only downside, so the great thing in this market about FHA, but that's all the time, is the interest rate on FHA is going to be lower than on a conventional loan. And if you're not aware, you can use a conventional loan even with 3% down. But because they allow you to have more debts to make the purchase with FHA, they have a private mortgage insurance, which is a mortgage insurance that's on top of your payment. It's part of your payment. So that's less money that you pay towards your house. It's just something to keep in mind. Now let's cover USDA loan. So USDA loan is another down payment assistance program, but this one is for rural areas. They also have, compared to all the other loans out there, they also have a very low credit score requirement. I believe at this time it is 580, and they will not charge you for reserve. It has to be for a primary residence. So all these loans applied to for primary residence, right? The only exception is FHA, where you can again buy the house or the multifamily. But you do have to live in the property for a year, but you can move out after a year. That's for FHA. Down payment assistance, those are different. You can't do that really. But USDA also, they require 2 years of employment, just the basic stuff, and then you must live in the property and it's zero down payment. And the greatest part with USDA is their interest rate is pretty nice, it's pretty good. Even compared to down payment assistance program, but it has to be in a rural zone. So it could be areas like Lancaster, Phelan, some part of Apple Valley. I think next to Paris, the city of Nuevo applies as well. And then going towards the desert, like Yucca Valley, Joshua Tree, 29 Palms. Not so much Los Angeles and Orange County, not so much Riverside. But if you're looking in any of those areas, this is a great loan to use. I have helped a few buyers with the USDA loan and they were extremely happy and they got a great rate. Now let's finish with the beautiful conventional loan. Now, I think a lot of people think, oh, I'm buying with conventional, I need 20% down. No, that is not the reality. Conventional loan, you can buy with as little as 3% down. And 3% down can be done if you haven't owned a house in 3 years. Or if you're a first-time home buyer, 3% that can be done any day of the week. But if you have owned a property, make sure it was more than 3 years ago. And then for conventional loan, you can put 3%, 5%, all the way to 20, even more. Mid 600 credit score is required. You need to have low debt to income ratio in order to qualify for this loan. If not, the lender's gonna tell you automatically you're gonna fall into the FHA loan. And yeah, that's pretty much it for the financing option. Let's see what else did I have. So here are a few tips that I wanted to share when you're looking at houses or the housing market. Something that you can do, even if, let's say, you're not ready, but you want to get familiar with what's available. Let's say your goal is to buy in a year. So I would invite you. I mean, there's a bunch of tools out there on the internet, on your phone, that you can use to get familiar. And the reason you want to get familiar is you want to get an idea of what are the price going for, what are the house going for. Are homes selling for a higher purchase price or a lower purchase price? Are home prices going up or down, etc.? There's a lot of things that you can learn. So you can obviously make the Zillow search, Zillow, Realtor.com, Redfin, etc. But where it gets really interesting when you're looking at a house that you like is you want to scroll down and find that mortgage calculator. The reason is you want to get familiar with what would potentially be the mortgage payment on there. Because if you're renting at $2,100 a month right now, it's impossible to have that payment. That's the reality. So that's why going down, playing, they have the calculator there with the purchase price, and then you can look at the down payment, whatever you have or you plan to have, and that will kind of like give you an idea of what's going to be the payment on that property. You can look at the neighborhood history, obviously. Are they new homes? Are home prices going up in this neighborhood, as I have mentioned? A really, really good app if you want to stay informed about mortgages is Mortgage News app. They give amazing daily articles on what's going on in the nation, what are the rates like. And again, they have a mortgage calculator as well. So you can have kind of that handy. And yeah, those are kind of like some of the top tips I wanted to share because, again, if you're trying to get your feet wet, this is a good place to start. Now, this is like a really important slide that I wanted to go over with you guys because, again, if you're purchasing, you want to have a budget in mind. Especially if you're purchasing with your spouse, you want to have an honest conversation and look at all the items that you have or that are going to come with the purchase and see, well, do we have a chance here? So, as I have mentioned, banks will qualify you to your maximum debt to income ratio. And sometimes some lenders out there, they even go over. And the problem when as I mentioned, 45% is almost like the maximum you want to go to, because when it gets to 50, 52, 55%, the problem with that is your chances of closing escrow are becoming slimmer. So what do I mean by that? Let's say you're pre-approved for a purchase price of 650. But at that purchase price, that would mean that you would be using the gross income. So let's say you make 10,000 a month, right? The bank is saying, well, you can afford a payment of 5,500 a month. The problem is when you go that much into it, that high percentage, if once you're in escrow, if they start considering all your debts, well, you might not get pre-approved for that loan. The underwriter, that's what we call it, is somebody that verifies absolutely everything, might say, this borrower can't afford all of that. That's too much of the guidelines. So, and I don't know, can I move here? Can I move my person? Oh, I can move my person. Okay, so here's a quick estimate, and you can take a picture or take a screenshot, whatever, but this is kind of like a baseline to consider. So let's say your net income is 6,500 a month, right? I think this is a really, you should, I think as individual, we should always be conservative. That's the reality. Let's not get into the daydreaming. Let's not push our budget so high that, and that's what I did with my first house. I pushed my budget so high. I was actually stressed out with my mortgage payment. So that's why I'm kind of going over that. But that, I'm just here giving you information. You can take it or you can say, you know what, I don't care. I want to push my budget, but let's just go based off of that. So hypothetically, if your net income was $6,500 a month and you would put 45% of your income towards that, and then let's say you have a car payment of $400 a month and another debt of $525, that would mean that realistically, $2,000 a month towards a mortgage payment, that would be realistic as far as a mortgage that you'd feel comfortable with. Because the reality is the bank will calculate, as I have mentioned, your gross income. And I think it is important, and is because I think we get emotionally involved and attached when it comes to buying a home. But I think it's nice to be comfortable and be conservative in our numbers so that after you buy your house, you enjoy your house. You love your home and you love your payment. I see all these things online and I say, no, the buyer should fall in love with their payment more than falling in love with the house. Because if you fall in love with the house, I mean, you might not respect your budget. Yes, you should still love your house, right? But sometimes, you know, even when we're looking at cars, oh, it's a nice car. Can I afford that payment? Oh, but the car is so nice. Yeah, yeah, I can afford it. And then you realize a couple of months into it, like, was that worth it? So that's why I think it's a good idea to look at your net income. And I just wanted to kind of give that breakdown to you guys. Here are some of the negotiation strategy that I use and that you should keep in mind. That's after you're pre-approved and once you're submitting offers on houses that you like. When you're submitting an offer, the price that you're offering the seller, you're pretty much telling the seller, this is how much I'm willing to pay for your house. And that's really how it works when you're submitting an offer, is you're telling the homeowner, this is how much I'm willing to pay, and these are the conditions I'm willing to buy your house. Honestly, request a credit. Ask for a credit right on your offer, because with that credit, you can use that credit to pay for your closing costs or you can use that credit to lower down your interest rate. So let's say today you get a quote and the lender tells you, okay, well, today the interest rate is 7%, but you're getting $13,000 from the seller. Well, you can use that $13,000 to, and it depends, every day is different, but you can maybe get a 6.5% interest rate with that 13,000. Now, this is just a hypothetical scenario, but it's just to kind of get you familiar with that. As for a home warranty and a termite report and a termite clearance, a home warranty is pretty much like a second insurance on the property where it covers appliances, AC, roof, plumbing, etc. And if something breaks in the year that you own the house, you can call this home warranty and they will send a technician. They will inspect it, whether replace the item or fix it, etc. Be clear on what you want included with the property. And that's something a realtor should be going over with that with you. Like, okay, I want the washer and dryer. I want to make sure the dishwasher stays, all these types of things. When you're in escrow, obviously you can do due diligence. As a buyer, you can do as much due diligence as you want within a certain timeline. You want to bring a plumber, you want to bring an electrician, you want to bring a roofer, you can do all of that. But typically people do home inspection, and then the home inspector's job is to show you everything that's wrong with the house. Everything that's not working, that's dysfunctional, or that might need to be replaced. And then at that time, once you do your home inspection, that's when you can ask the seller, Mr. Seller, we want all these items fixed, or we want additional credit, or we want a price reduction after all these findings. So, and also during that process, the lender will send an appraiser. The appraiser's job is to tell the value of the house. Now, something to keep in mind is when you submit an offer, if let's say you submit at 500,000, if the appraiser tells you the house is worth 550, then that would mean that you would be walking in with all this equity. There's no price change. There's no price change. If the property comes in, the value of the home comes in at 450, let's say, and you offer 500,000. It is your right to ask the seller for a price reduction at that price. Now, most sellers will say yes because they know, and realtors inform their sellers that if they don't do this price reduction, and let's say they cancel, well, the next buyer that's going to do an appraisal, the purchase price might come, the value might come in at 450 again. So typically, sellers are more inclined to do that price reduction, knowing that, especially when it's on an FHA, because as soon as someone uses an FHA loan on a house, there's a case number that gets attached to the property. And if that appraisal is not the purchase price, that appraisal stays attached to the property. That means that no other FHA buyers can buy it. So I hope that makes sense. And then here are a few apps that I actually love, enjoy. And yeah, although I'm a realtor, you might say, well, why do you like Zillow? Like, you have access to the MLS. Well, Zillow is a great place, and all the other websites too, especially when you're looking at houses that have ADU, because or specific properties, right? Because when you're looking on the search, you can put these specific keywords, house with an ADU, house with a guest house, or it could be anything, multifamily or whatever, right? Mint, I actually still use Mint, and it really helped me pay off my debts, to help me become an active investor. It's a great app. It shows you your credit. It shows you Even if you own a car, you know, it shows you your assets, your liabilities, and all of that. I'm a visual person, so I like to have everything breaking down instead of logging into a million different apps to see, like, okay, how much money do I have total? So that's good. Mortgage news, I have mentioned it about mortgages. And then whenever you want more information about real estate, or even if you're the beginning journey or you're interested in becoming in investing in real estate, whichever is, BiggerPockets is actually a really, really good place. They have so many different hosts. They give a ton of information on the daily. I follow them personally on YouTube, podcasts, and social media. It's a really, really good place to get a lot of information about real estate. And especially, like, let's say you're interested in buying out of state, you most likely have information about what's going on in that state. So it's great. So that covers it. That was, wow, almost like a 40 minute talking. So this is when I would love to go over your question. I have a question here from Laura. She says, can you apply or qualify for more than one down payment assistance program? No, the reality is that you cannot. You can only have one down payment assistance program, mortgage loan, one at a time. And that goes also for FHA. FHA only allows one FHA loan at a time. Any income restriction for down payment assistance? Yes, they are. We do have, there's income restriction for every county. So if you're buying in LA, it's going to be different than if you're buying in Riverside County. But typically River Los Angeles and Orange County, their guidelines are typically the same. Income restriction are the same, but they're pretty high. I think the last time I checked, it was like $150,000 a year. And then for Riverside and San Bernardino, typically the guidelines are the same as well. I think it was 83,000, I think, but don't quote me on this. I would need to verify. Donovan says hi. I would love to go over any of your questions that you have on anything that I talked about, if it was helpful, if it was clear and concise. So can't decide between a home with an HOA or regular home. So the reality of a home with an HOA is that the HOA will never go away, and typically they increase that HOA year after year. And there's also rules. And I know this because I used to live in a property that had association, and you know, the rules are, I had left my garbage can like for 2 days because I was out of town, and yeah, they gave me a warning. Like, so it's thing to be aware versus when you have a single family residence that doesn't have any HOA, you don't get this pain. Listen, I'm at a point in my life, I just want peace. I want things to flow. I want, but if you're looking at, you know, your a specific budget here, there's nothing wrong with going with an HOA. Maybe it's something temporary. Maybe it will be for a year or a couple of years, and then you can move on to that bigger home, the single family residence. But there are some downside to HOAs. But then the good side is typically if there's an association, there's a reason why you're paying. It might be a pool, might be a park, might be a dog park. Typically, you know, they do the maintenance, they keep the complex pretty clean. So again, HOA can be great, but not all of them are great. Do you have experience when it comes to purchasing a mobile home, manufactured home? So this is actually a good question from Elizabeth. I have a lot of information, and for some reason, I have showed a lot of mobile home, and you know, it just never happened to me personally where a buyer decided to purchase it. But I do have a lot of information. I do know a lot. So I do have, yeah, I do have experience, but my clients, and I'm just being a open book here. Like I rather tell you the truth, because if you go on Zillow, you're gonna see all of my closing, and you're gonna be like, well, I mean, you said you did, but you didn't. So anyway, so yes, through my career, I showed a lot of mobile homes. I even met with owners of mobile home. It just hasn't happened where I sold one. Well, I mean, technically, I just sold one. I represented the seller in 29 Ponds. We sold his, but it was vacant, and I didn't represent the buyer. So technically, is that per person or everyone together for the income limits? Yes, it is everyone together. Can a person who is retired purchase a home? Yes. So that's actually a very good question, Erica. Let me sip some water here. So typically, people who are retired might be getting a retirement monthly, or they might be getting Social Security, or maybe both. And that income it definitely can be considered. If I bought a house 8 years ago, can I be considered a first-time home buyer? So you would not be considered a first-time home buyer, but you could use an FHA loan, you can use USDA, and you can use I believe you could use a down payment assistance program, but not all of them. So it's worth talking with a loan officer. Are you taking new buyers? Do I request a consultation? So that's a great question. I am taking on new clients. I do have on my Instagram the link to schedule a phone consultation with me, and or you can send me an email, and we can go from there. We want to buy in the next couple of months. We want to wait for the dream for all, but not sure if we should just use what we currently have for our first home purchase. So Dream for All loan program is a great program where, yes, you will get it if you're able to get the funding. You will get 20% down payment assistance, but what you must know is that money needs to be paid back in any way, shape, or form. They will ensure that that money gets paid back. If you sell, then they will take the money from your proceed. If you refinance, they will take the money from the proceed. If you live in a house for 30 years, that they will still take the 20%. So it's a good option to actually, let's get in contact and let's see if that's the best avenue for you. So it's not because they're giving assistance that you should necessarily take it, especially if you're in a position to you qualify, you like the payment, you don't need it, then you're not obligated to get it. Okay. Going back to mobile manufactured homes, do you recommend them? My concern is value. Do they also go up in value? So mobile homes typically go up in value very slowly. That's the concern. Also, every park has their own regulation where if you're like looking to buy and rent it, I mean, typically they don't allow tenants. So that's something to consider. I'm waiting for the dream for all, and I want to use it for a house or duplex. Is there a duplex for sale in Riverside or Orange County? They are multifamily for sale, but it's to see your budget and what are your expectations, what rents are you trying to collect, and all that good stuff. I do want to purchase a mobile home with my mom. Have been working in the same place for 8 years, but my mom recently started working a month ago. Would be a issue So your mom couldn't be on the loan, but she could be on title. So you would need to be on the loan by yourself, but both of you would own the house. Could you please explain the 45% debt to income ratio again and how to figure that number out? So the 45% debt to income ratio is going to be the bank will consider your monthly gross income. Now you can use your gross income or you can use your net income. Net is typically after taxes. So you look on a monthly basis what you're left with. And then you can do times 45% minus your monthly debts. So your monthly minimum payments on everything. That will give you a specific number, the mortgage that you can afford. The gross income will be more, it's less a conservative number. If you're going with your net income, that's more a conservative number. So, but ultimately, the choice is yours. Okay, I have Siri that's like going off anyway. Oh my gosh, I don't know how to stop her. She's crazy. Oh my God. Okay. Oh. Okay, sorry, technical error. Oh my gosh, now there's music. Okay, technical mistake. Okay. So, okay, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Because yeah, it says my
Yes.
AirPods are there. Okay, great. Typically, what's a good down payment for 550? I mean, 3.5% down is a good place to start. Thank you. Yes. Oh, I can't hear Siri. Oh, okay. Thank you for the information, Caroline. I appreciate it. Well, it is my pleasure. I think it is time for me to go because I'm starting to lose my voice, and typically that's what happens after I talk for so long. So thank you so much for coming in. It was a lot of fun. It was my first time. So I'm really looking forward to do more. I did ask you in my stories on Instagram if you would like a Zoom about the California Dream for All loan programs, so I can kind of just give you what are the guidelines. So look out for that. And for any of you can send me an email. I will type my email address here if you have any more question, and if it's you want to schedule a phone consultation, I'd love to go over your options and give you some guidance on home buying. So thank you so much. Oh, thank you. You guys are so nice. Thank you. Amazing information, killing it as always. Congratulations on our first webinar. Thank you. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much. Oh man, I love when people are so kind, you know. We need more kindness in this world. Thank you so much. So I will see you guys on the next one. Thank you so much for joining.